From battery issues to flat tires to keys locked in your car, AAA's affordable roadside assistance is there for you 24/7, 365. Join now at AAA.com/member. Roadside assistance is provided by independent facilities contracted by AAA. Coverage in taxis, limousines, and other ride-sharing conveyances is excluded. Offers, terms, conditions, and policies are subject to change without notice. Visit AAA.com/member for details. Savings partners subject to change. From battery issues to flat tires to keys locked in your car, AAA's affordable roadside assistance is there for you 24/7, 365. Join now at AAA.com/member. Roadside assistance is provided by independent facilities contracted by AAA. Coverage in taxis, limousines, and other ride-sharing conveyances is excluded. Offers, terms, conditions, and policies are subject to change without notice. Visit AAA.com/member for details. Savings partners subject to change.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sims receives at the 5. There goes everybody. Across the 25. And what does it mean? 1 yard more than we would have gotten. But 1 yard where you hold your breath.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let's talk about how things are different with your new head coach, Jackson Smith and Jigbo.
I mean, things are totally different, you know.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Steve Weiss. Still to come, host and comedian Chris Redd. Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dula. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I'm sitting here in my hotel room in Canton, Ohio. Tonight I'll be hosting the Jacket Dinner in downtown Canton, Ohio for yet another induction weekend of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We just chatted with Steve Weiss, who's hanging out with all of the returning Hall of Famers in advance of tonight's Jacket Dinner and tomorrow's ceremony for yet more immortals to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The comedian Chris Redd in studio. In the Los Angeles studio, recorded a couple days ago. That's coming up shortly. He's a funny guy. Don't miss the conversation, especially since we're going to have him play the win-loss game as a particular character that he played on Saturday Night Live that you might see every single day on First Take on ESPN. Just as a for instance, we might have him play the Cowboys win-loss game as Stephen A. Smith.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere if I were you. So that's coming up here on this program. It's a What's More Likely Friday. We'll get to that in a second. Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, will be joining us on this program in hour number 3 to tell us what's going on with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Could Justin Fields actually take the starting gig from Russell Wilson in advance of the season opener against the Atlanta Falcons? That is going to be a question we pose to Jerry when he joins us in hour number 3 of this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll still take your phone calls even though I'm not in studio. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo are in their spots.
Hey, Rich.
TJ Jefferson in your spot as well. And, you know, it's kind of amazing with this Pro Football Hall of Fame about how, remember how when Michigan won the national championship, I said sports is kind of like the marking of time, right? Like how you take a look at what sport teams mean to you when you first started following them and then how many years you've been waiting for the moment. And this ceremony is a marking of time for so many of these men who have been waiting a while, like Randy Gradishar or Steve McMichael, or those who finally get in after a years-long journey to professional football, and they make it in maybe relatively quickly. And then it can make you feel, you know, kind of old yourself.
Yep.
And the one that makes me feel the oldest, and again, I know Randy Gradishar has been waiting a while on McMichael, but the one, I don't know why, makes me feel the oldest going in is Devin Hester. Especially when you look at the fact that Devin Hester opening up the Super Bowl
great.
For a touchdown for the Chicago Bears in Super Bowl XLI. It's Super Bowl 41. Super Bowl 59 is this year, guys. I cannot believe
that's crazy.
Super Bowl 51 in South Florida. And I will never forget that moment. I was in an end zone seat it was the end zone that the Giants, the Colts were kicking into, and Devin Hester's back was to me. And these moments in sports, the best moments you could say in sports, are the moments that you want to see but think can never really happen because the opponent knows how good this athlete is. And you know the opponent would never let this guy beat them at what makes him best or her best, right? But on the stage in which this confrontation's taking place, wouldn't it be amazing if he or she did it?
Right.
And the odds of it happening, though, at the moment where it's most expected, are too long for it to actually occur. And Devin Hester returning the opening kickoff of Super Bowl 41 was exactly that. I can't believe the Colts kicked it to him. I can't believe he actually returned it for a touchdown, despite the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame because he had such an incredible penchant and knack for doing it. I will never forget it. As he was running away from where I was sitting, and I could see the sort of sea of Colts open up. And I'll never forget it. And the fact is that it's now 18 Super Bowls later, including his, he's going into the Hall of Fame. That one's kind of mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
And I look up now and I could see my gray beard and lack of hair. It's a mark in a time when he goes in the Hall of Fame, guys.
Rich, you can almost take Jim Lampley's George Foreman quote when he exclaimed, "It happened twice," and you can lay that over Hester.
Yes.
It happened. They kicked it to him. He took it home. It happened. Like, yeah. It really.
Right. And that's another moment, right? Like, there's no way George Foreman is going to beat Michael Moore, right? Yeah. Like, this is not going to happen. Boy, it would be amazing. Jack winning the Masters, right, at age 46.
Sure. Even Tiger,
right?
Winning.
Or Tiger.
Five years ago, yeah.
Right. Those moments. Reggie Jackson in his third home run of the game in 1977's World Series. You know, Gibson homering off of Dennis Eckersley. Like, there's no way he's playing. There's no way he can do this, right? There's no way he's going to walk it off in game one in front of his home fans against the most dominant reliever we've seen in years.
Yeah, the odds are so small. But, man, imagine if he did that. And then, it's happening. Yeah.
Crazy. That's Devin Hester's moment. He's returning to the...
When the 16 finally beat the one.
Yeah.
You know, took forever, but it happened.
Yeah.
And on a much lesser scale in terms of the stage, a Thursday night when Devin Hester played for the Falcons on a Thursday night, Dion was there. And Dion, it was the old Georgia Dome, which is the house that Prime built, right? And Dion's banner was up there. I guess they had just retired his number. And Hester, I think, broke his all-time return record for punts
that night.
And he did it in front of Dion, holding it up. And I was with Dion, and he went, that was amazing. Like, he's not going to do it just, you know, in Dion's house, you know, with Dion's banner up there. He couldn't do it. Like, and he did it again. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot it's all like for us, it's like Del Tufo being here on Friday.
You know, funny about that is I saw Hester do that run too, Rich, and it was cool as hell. And I was on the field and he was running at me, and that was amazing. That was so cool to see that. Yeah. And you guys are right. But obviously, yes, me on a Friday.
You on a Friday, just you being here on a Friday.
You are correct.
Yeah. You are the Devin Hester of the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll take that any day of the week.
That's high praise, right?
Hold it up. I'll take that any day of the week.
Hold it up.
I like being Dion too, though. All right.
It's a What's More Likely Friday. I'm in Canton. The guys are in El Segundo. You are where you are. I'm here where I am. It's What's More Likely. Hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's going on, brother?
Rich,
I'm great.
You're great.
I'm great.
You look great. You look great.
I'm trying to sit up in my chair so you could see that it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I'm wearing a Drake May shirt today.
Oh, what does it say?
Made for New England.
Oh, really?
I mean, Brock, I love it. He's in.
By the way, he's had two bounce back practices today. Everyone can calm down. Especially Pico Boulevard.
Do you have the ghosts of Mac Jones t-shirt?
Yeah, no, I need to get that one. Yeah. I need to get that one made.
That's underneath the desk.
These two teams played last night. And I know expectations are a little bit different for each, but is it more likely the Texans win the AFC South or the Bears make the playoffs?
Oh,
I'll say it's more likely the Texans win the AFC South. Oh, yeah. I thought you'd go stronger than this. I thought you'd say what's more. Yeah, that the Texans, eliminate
the
Chiefs.
Make the Super Bowl or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more likely that because
when you look. Hold on. Let's change it. No, you're not feeling it.
Well, because I think it's an easy one to say. I don't know how talented the Bears roster looks, but that's still a rookie quarterback in the National Football League.
All right.
You know, and the Bears are playing a very tough division. And I think the Texans are fully equipped to repeat as champions in their division. That's for sure. But the whole idea is the Texans, are they ready to actually, like if you look at the AFC and peg the teams that are most likely, to use the phrase of this segment, to be the ones to dethrone the Chiefs in the AFC, they're the ones that you throw there, right? They're the ones that you put in that pit with Baltimore, even though the Chiefs beat them last year, or whoever wins the AFC East. You could throw another team from the AFC North in there if you want.
Okay, Rich.
So there's that. But how do we plus up the Bears?
Well, all right, hold on. What's Omaha? Omaha.
All right.
Uh-huh. More likely, Texans make the Super Bowl or the Bears win a playoff game.
That's now you have upgraded, sir. Now you have upgraded to a flatbed seat.
Delta One.
I'll go Bears, but win a playoff game.
See, you don't love Stroud that much.
No, it's not. Has nothing to do with Stroud. I've walked up to the water's edge of Chiefs Kingdom, and I am not dipping a toe in the pool that makes them want to drown me. How does that sound? Use the analogy all the way. So I'll do that. Bears make a divisional round game, just like the Texans did last year, then rather than the Texans make it two rungs further than last year.
The Bears.
Oh, my God. What else?
Get ready, man. Hard Knocks on Tuesday. All right. We had a couple of teams with some QB scares yesterday. West Coast team with a QB scare you're suddenly more worried about, Chargers or Seahawks?
Oh, I'll go Chargers. I'll go Chargers in the million. Absolutely, I'll go Chargers. Yeah, man. I don't mean to, you know, I know what I said in hour one was, you know, Jim didn't leave Michigan to coach Easton Stick. And I know that that's sounds disrespectful, like the disrespect is real. But Sam Howell's got a heck of a lot more time as a starting quarterback than Easton Stick. And Geno Smith apparently is not missing any time. And plantar fascia sounds like
he was already kind of older. I don't know.
But plantar fascia is not like a broken bone where it's healed and off we go, right? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The foot is a fickle beast. I literally said those words into a microphone. So I'll say I'm more worried about the Chargers.
Okay.
That's more likely worried.
All right. Let's talk a little wide receivers here, guys. Wide receiver, you like to have a big breakout season. Jameson Williams or George Pickens?
Nice one. Oh, man. I'll go Jameson Williams. I'll go Jameson Williams. I believe in the hype here. Have you noticed how many Lions predictions of Super Bowl that we've heard in the last 72 hours?
By the way, just about everybody, it seems like, likes them to come out of the NFC.
They might be calling up people to the gate to see if they'll sell their seats on the bandwagon for a future bandwagon and some extra models or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's oversold right now.
Yeah, oversold. The bandwagon's oversold.
I don't know, man. I just think the Lions' offense and quarterback situation is more settled than Pittsburgh's. That alone, and the fact that, you know, that alone, and then the fact that Jameson Williams was so hyped coming in, and rightfully so, but had a knee injury. That's the issue.
Yeah,
and maybe he's now fully past all of that.
Well, they had a little suspension. So I'll say it's
more likely to.
And, yeah,
I'll go Jameson Williams.
Okay, I still think George might have a.
Well, I'm not saying that George is going to be. Listen, you're saying more likely to have a breakout season.
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean that George, I'm talking like huge.
That doesn't mean that George Pickens. Yeah, that's going to suddenly be disappointing for Pittsburgh. Like they blew it, or you're
regressed. No, not at all. I'm just saying. I like both. I like both guys.
Okay.
All right, we got our first look at the new kickoff last night. Just kind of baby steps. Wondering what you guys thought, but. What's more likely, that we're saying by midseason the kickoff rule needs to go back? Or we're saying, what took so long? This is awesome.
Oh, it's what's to it. Please go back. Go back to what? You miss all those touchbacks. You miss all those moments where you could take an extra 30 seconds to go have a piss break. You know, I mean,
I don't know. Is that what it is? I didn't blow my socks off last night. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no one is playing there. First of all, nobody is showing their hand right now. That's number one.
But
number
two. What is the hand?
Oh, you don't think there's going to be all sorts of plays and tricks and gadgets?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if teams don't just like say screw this and just start taking the touchbacks.
As one of the political phrases, as one of the political phrases of the day, we're not going back. No way. This is not happening. We're not going. Oh man, I miss those days where somebody would just boom one, you know, into the front row. You know what? Well, here's what Cooper will miss. Taylor likes it too. Is when somebody kicks it off and the ball goes through the uprights. They think that you should get points for that.
You should get one. You should get 1 point for that. Honestly.
Because you kicked it that far. Something for the effort.
Yeah. By the way, that takes skill.
For the effort.
It takes accuracy, and it takes a long, strong leg. But, we're not going back, man. No one's showing their hand. You won't see anything in the preseason.
Okay.
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
All right, you guys are holding out hope. I don't know. I wasn't blown away last
The next Devin Hester will not be shown during the preseason, Chris. Okay.
No, sir. And by the way, a lot of the guys that are out there right now are not going to be the ones who are going to be on the special teams unit. I mean, he's just seriously.
By the way, shout out Joe Buck for learning all these guys' names who I won't have a job in a couple weeks. That was awesome.
Dude, I have never called a preseason game, but I have called an NFL Europe game back in the day.
Yeah.
You had to learn everybody. Absolutely.
So many random names.
Everybody. Yeah. So, yes, kudos to them.
All right, last one. Rookie quarterback. We talked a lot about both these guys this week. Rookie quarterback. Who will see action first in 2024, Michael Penix or my man, Drake May?
More likely. So if I say Penix, that means Cousins got hurt.
Probably.
And I just, that's it. It's not, they're not benching Kirk Cousins due to ineffectiveness.
What if there's a Penix package?
Penix package.
Oh, I like the sounds of that.
By the way,
there was a Trey Lance package. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know if we'll see that. I will say Drake May.
Drake
is what I will say. Huh? Or we'll see Penix out there, you know, mopping up because the Falcons have, you know, are destroying somebody.
That seems unlikely.
I don't know, because I think you can use your third quarterback on game day now, but only in case of a certain emergency. I need to look up those rules and be a little bit better versed on that. I'm going to go with Drake May. I will go with Drake May. And we already have our first surprise upset of the day of the Rich Eisen Show. The fact that you said Penix package. And TJ Jefferson did not make a that's what she said joke.
I'm not allowed to anymore.
I mean, that I cannot.
You know,
I just, are you all right, CJ? Should we check your temperature?
I think you've beaten him down.
Yeah, I mean, look.
It's a submission.
You know,
don't blame me.
My heart raced.
Don't blame me.
Trust me, I heard it, and the disappointment, looked like this.
My balls was hot.
What's more likely? That's another what's more likely right there.
Hey, we try to view.
Hey now, okay.
Hey very.
Oh my gosh!
Rich, if you're giving me carte blanche, right. I'll get back in the game, buddy. I'll get back in the game.
By the way, Mike Hoskins, all the way from across the country, just got in my head saying that there's a toilet tour later on from you, T.J. Jefferson.
Oh yes.
Right? I mean,
yes,
no, but right? I mean,
there is.
Because you went to the and that's going to be later on in this hour, as a matter of fact.
Toilet!
You went to the latest. You got a tour of the Intuit Dome, right?
Yeah, my buddy Matt Riley. He and I have been going to Clipper games together since 2000, and he got invited. So of course he invited me, and we took a little trip around our new home for the foreseeable future, and that place is.
Okay, so that's coming up. Very good. Resurrected Rides is a new show on Netflix. It's kind of like a revamped Pimp My Ride. Chris
exactly.
Redd
yep.
is the host of it. And that is next. He is next on The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chris, that was a very funny clip that we just saw.
You, man. That was very excellent way to just slide right into a commercial voice.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
I have my interview voice.
Yeah.
And I've got my commercial voice.
Your commercial voice is a little bit lower, like a free oil now. that's nice.
Yes,
man. That's
Resurrected Rides.
Yeah, man.
Just like that. What led you to want to do this show?
Well, I mean, I love cars.
Yeah.
I'm a car guy in a way that I can't fix it, but I like to look at them and be like, I like that.
Yes.
And I love Pimp My Ride. I thought it was fun. You know what I mean? So I was like, yo, I would love to do a show like that. As long as the things that we fix about the cars are actually fundamentally usable, so that after the show, there's no lawsuits because I ain't got the money for all that.
So again, the car saw was a 1990 Ford sort of
Mustang.
A Mustang.
It was super dope. I mean, it was dope as it was. Like she kept it in great condition. It was in this garage and it was under a tarp and you could tell that she's like, don't touch that. That's from my grandson. But the way we had it, what we turned it into was even doper than that.
Because again, there's the as you called it, a kangaroo pouch on the driver's side door. Cup holders and
no cup holders. And she's just balancing.
And the brake, the emergency brake that you in the middle of the car that you pull up. right?
Like, you got to pull up real, real,
real hard. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, you can't have a kid driving that. You know? they can't multitask as it is unless it's on Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's definitely no place to plug in your phone in that car.
I have a phone, to be very honest with you, you know. But now I think there's a lot of places you can plug a phone in. And I hope Carter is somewhere just filling up his car with as many ladies to study with possible. Nice.
And so that's what you do, is you take care mostly of the interiors, or there's some other cars that you do the exterior
to?
No,
we fix everything that needs fixing. So we handle the engine, we handle like the brakes, we handle the outside and the inside, all of it. Just what we show on the show is the fun stuff. We don't show you the boring things like the engine, but the engines are, because there are some people who are very diehard Pimp My Ride fans who are like, did you work on the engine though, bro? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, not me, but yes, they did. A man worked on it. I didn't work on anything. I've gotten so many submissions from people wanting me to fix their cars, and just keep watching the show.
Yeah.
Get us a season two, and somebody will fix your car.
Well,
because me,
yeah,
I can't do it.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that if you show up, you know that someone will know that their car's about to get fixed.
Yeah, if I show up, somebody in my camp's gonna hook you up.
That's
you
right.
Know what I mean?
You've got people.
Yeah.
And just seeing that car reminded me of the car I passed my driver's test in.
Really?
Yeah, in the 80s, because I'm a little older.
That's what's up. Yeah, so what was the hair like? Rich?
The hair?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's just like if you watch Pretty in Pink, you know what I mean? Like that sort of ducky, sort of, you know, flock of seagulls type thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
I'm really aging myself with every single pop culture reference out of my mouth right now.
That's a lot of animals to reference when talking about hair.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. That's right. I had a Pontiac sedan, like an LE is what I think called.
Okay.
And it had that emergency brake in the middle. Yeah. It had
the big one, the big draping one, right?
Exactly, the draping one. I think it had an 8-track sort of tape deck in that thing.
Oh yeah. You was
that
way
ride
back.
Could be resurrected somewhere right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man. Where is it now? Is it
I have
dead?
No idea.
Is it dead?
It is definitely way gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Chris, would you say the stuff in this is more realistic than the original? Because I worked on Pimp My Ride back in the day.
And, you did?
Yeah. And they put stuff like a CAT scan machine went into one car, and like a chocolate fondue.
What?
That, yeah. They
yeah,
put a
I
chandelier,
remember the chocolate fondue.
A hot tub, yeah. Stuff like that
I remember
in these cars.
That was,
a flame-throwing tailpipe was in a car. Like,
yeah, that was like, that was a part of my contract. I didn't want to put nothing too ridiculous. Like, I was like, I don't want to put like fish tanks in people's cars. That's bad for the fish community, and it's bad.
A terrarium.
You know what I mean? That's crazy.
It's bad for the human community.
It's bad for every community, to be very honest with you. No, but I wanted them to be more reasonable. Now, I did put a pizza shooter on somebody's van because they wanted a van that looked like the Ninja Turtle van. But you can take that on. It's very removable, and it is useless, and we do know that going in. But as far as everything else, we wanted to make sure that the cars would be helpful in everybody's daily life. Because that was like a big part of the show, is just helping people who can't help themselves in that way. You know?
So did you personally install the fondue machine?
No, yeah. I worked post production on it, so I was producing a DVD.
Oh, so you were just dipping in the chocolate. You
yes. Yes. I really didn't have anything to do with the build.
That's the post. That's the post production. Again, check out Resurrected Rides on Netflix, available on Roku right now, starring this man, Chris Redd. You also got your comedy special, Why Am I Like This, on Max right now.
Yeah, man.
What is that? Does that question have an answer to it? Why am I like this?
No, I'm still searching. But yes. it's a dive into like kind of my psyche. I was later in life when I was kind of went to therapy, and so I kind of found out that I have like anxiety and depression and ADHD, and the whole special is very ADHD and how I bounce around it.
Yeah.
But it's a look into my mind a little bit, and kind of where I've come from, and I'm super proud of it, man.
How'd you get into comedy?
Failed at everything else.
Good answer.
That is very much it. Comedy's always been something that I look to help me be funnier in my everyday life. So
okay.
I would like study different albums and just to be fun, because I had this social anxiety in school. So
whose albums do you study?
Oh man, Richard Pryor, Carlin.
So old school.
Yeah. My dad was really into comedy albums, so he had a bunch of them laying around the house.
Like on vinyl, like the real thing.
No, I don't. mean, he might have a couple on vinyl, but I got the CDs, you know, so I had the CDs and I would
got it.
I would listen to them until they skipped too much.
Skipped.
I also read, you know, I was also so read like if you go to sleep listening to something, then you'll wake up and kind of be in your psyche. So I was like, if I listen to these comedy albums, I'll be funnier by morning. and so like that was like I always looked at comedy as a way to break the tension socially. And then when rap wasn't working out, and I was kind of looking at myself like, well, what other thing am I interested in doing? Because school wasn't really like that path wasn't really like interesting to me. I was like, well, I'm kind of funny. Maybe I should dive into that and kind of see like if there's any legs to a future in that. And so I went to Second City and I started an improv class, and then I started stand up shortly after that, and the rest is history.
So how did Saturday Night Live give you a call, or how did you wind up on their radar screen?
I had done a few projects. I had worked with like Andy Samberg. I had worked with Tina Fey on this project with Fortune Feimster. The show didn't get picked up. But I was starting to make my name around some folks who had been on the show. And uh-huh. So they had floated my name. And then when I was on tour, I was just randomly on tour in between gigs in L.A. And I got a call that they wanted me to come audition. And the time I got the call, the first call, I was with Jay Farrell in Louisiana doing a show with him. I was opening up for him. He had nothing to do with it. But it was just absolutely nothing to do with it. But it was right. Like a cool thing to be like, sure. Yo, it's not just called. It's weird telling somebody old job just called you. But he was super cool about it. And then I went and did it. Didn't get it that year. But then I went and got it the second
year. So then you're auditioning a second time is what got you the green light.
Was what got me. I think it was because I acted like I didn't care because I was mad I didn't get it the first time.
Okay.
And so I was like, life goes on. You know what I mean? And I was like, I'm going to do this, but I don't even need it. And then they called me like, you want it? I'm like, yes.
What was on your audition? What that you think crushed it? What was it?
You know, they at the time I wasn't really big on doing impressions. Like I like doing original characters. So I had some characters that were already in my stand up act that I was doing. But then like, you know, I threw in some impressions. So it was like the second time I think I did a very meta impression of Obama doing an impression of Obama. It was some very meta, like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's what got me the job. I think everything else I did there did. But I did Obama, and I did some crackhead that I knew.
By the way, I don't think that's ever been said in the same sentence.
I think they said that in my audition. I mean, I was just talking about that at the time. I was like, I'm going to do everything that I'm doing on the right. road. I'm going to just do a truncated version of that. And so, like, yeah, it was just, and then some other characters that I was doing at the time. Like, I just put doing that audition.
Who hosted the first show you were on as a cast member?
Just talked about this. It was Ryan Gosling, and Jay-Z was musical guest.
Jay.
Wow.
Yeah, so that blew my mind, bro. Beyonce was there. It was crazy. Son. I was like, I love you, Beyonce. Not in that way, Jay. And then and they laughed, and I was like, thank God. And they were sitting with Swiss Beats and Alicia. It was out at the after party. It was like the best way to just kick off the SNL career. It was just like very, very, very cool.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling just got nominated for his most recent hosting version on SNL.
Oh, Ryan's dope, man. He's so good at that job, and he just understands what it is. He goes there and knows he has to commit to things.
Yeah,
like, you know, submit to the process and kind of just know what kind of fun you're trying to have. Man.
What's your favorite skit that you pitched or wrote or had something to do with that made it on the air? And
one of my favorite things I had ever pitched was Jameson Bond. It was James Bond who can't hold his liquor. it never got to air.
Well, no.
We did a live version of it, which should have been taped, but I was new and I didn't know how to navigate it. We did a live version of it. It didn't work because it was like an action scene. Yeah. It's hard to do like a live action scene, but it was really fun. And I was like, maybe one day I'll do a Jameson Bond somewhere. But it was super cool to just act drunk
as a spy.
As a spy, you know what I mean? Just telling on yourself. because you're faded.
So you're blowing your own cover.
I'm a spy. Who are you? Are you drunk, Jameson? You're drunk. Jameson. You know, it was very fun. And with the one that got on that I always would like, and I'm surprised got on, was That's the Game. It was a thing I wrote with Streeter and Mikey Day.
Yeah.
And it was about a drug dealer that's trying to take over the drug game from his OG, but he doesn't understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, it's a takeover. But like, so if you were trying to pick up product, where would you pick it up from? You know? So it's like very clear he has no idea what to do outside of take the game.
Yes.
And I was surprised that they put something like that on TV, but they did. It was awesome. It was very funny. And I'm really proud of it.
So you were on Chris Fred here on the Rich Eisen Show. You were there. Barkley hosted while you were there. Did that happen while you were there?
Oh yeah. Charles hosted. I love Charles, man. He's the best. I did a commercial with him once for FanDuel, and they were like you. And I was supposed to play like a little voice on his shoulder. Uh-huh. Everybody thought I was doing an impression of him, and it wasn't a good one. And so they got so mad. The people, they were like, he doesn't sound like him. And it was just a very fun experience. I don't know why I just shared that story.
I'm trying to pick up where you're going with that one.
Middle of the way through, I'm like, what are you talking? Chris, you know what? This is so comfortable. I just like, let me just tell Rich stuff.
I like when you tell stuff. That's fine.
That was a very useless story. JJ, watch Resurrected Rush.
JJ Watt, I think, hosted while you were there, too.
Yes, I love JJ. JJ Watt. He's like, athletes are usually the best hosts.
Why do you say that?
They're always performing live all the time.
Yeah.
And they're always game for anything, usually. And it was just so fun. That was one of my favorite sketches with JJ Watts.
Which one was that?
It was one where I played this kid on the team who, it was kind of like Rudy, where I could play this kid on the team who's like not really good and too small to play.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, give him a chance. Give him a chance. And JJ's like, no, he sucks. I did suck,
yeah.
You know, but it was just like, it's supposed to be like this, like, inspirational scene from like every football movie you've ever seen in your life. But it's like a guy who actually shouldn't be playing.
So if it's Rudy, right?
Yeah.
In real life, and he just, they're like, we're not putting you on the field.
No, this is the championship. Are you stupid? And JJ killed it, man. He was so good in that.
Sounds like a modern version of the famous Peyton Manning send-up of the United Way commercial where he would throw the footballs directly at the kids' heads and just complain when they didn't catch and whatever. That was classic.
That was great.
That was
TV.
An absolute comedy.
I think you should always throw football at kids' heads.
Chris Redd here on the Rich Eisen Show again. Resurrected Rides, streaming now exclusively on Netflix. Why Am I Like This is on Max right now. You've got upcoming show dates tomorrow in Kansas City, San Diego, California after that, and then London. You're going to London. You're playing London.
Going to London, yeah, and doing St. Louis on Thursday.
Okay.
St. Louis on
Fantastic.
Thursday.
Fantastic. All right.
Yeah, but going to London, man. I go to London usually about every year. And I love performing over there,
Fantastic.
Bro.
Fantastic. You've got five dates there in London. I am chrisred.com to get tickets. Before I let you go, if you wouldn't mind indulging us here, because one of my favorite sketches that you did on SNL was the send-up of First Take.
Oh, yeah, man. That was one of my favorite live joints, for sure.
Because you were Stephen A.
Yeah, man.
And you've met Stephen A before?
I met Stephen A a bunch of times.
Okay.
I love Stephen A. I've been on his shows. We did Family Feud the same day, too.
Was that right?
Family Feud. He was on with Tamara Hall. I was on with Fortune Feimster, but we had crossed paths. But I love Steve.
Had you already done Stephen A?
Yeah, had done him a bunch. I was on Stephen A's show doing Stephen A with Stephen A. Which was
talking about meta.
So meta. I'm like, I'm Steven. No, I'm Steven. You know, it was really, really fun.
So I'd like you, if you don't mind, we play the win-loss game with a bunch of fans here who are rooting for their teams. I'd love to see if you wouldn't mind doing the Dallas Cowboys win-loss game as Stephen A. Smith, how you think he would do it.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Music here. Here is Chris Redd. Again, check out Resurrected Rides, available for streaming now exclusively on Netflix through the Roku portal. But that's Chris Redd. Stephen A. Smith is here right now to play the win-loss game for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Stephen A., what happens when the Cowboys open up the season in Cleveland in week one?
Well, here's the thing about it, Rich.
The second that they open, they close. That's what Cowboys do. All right. Now I know they have fans, but I don't know why. I don't know why. The only Cowboy I like is on a horse. You understand? You get it? So what's the game?
So is that a loss?
It's a loss all day, okay? It's a loss. Matter of fact, I'm at a loss for words. Positive ones to say about the Cowboys.
So what happens when they play the Saints next at home?
They pray, I think. They pray to the Lord and Savior to save them. I think they lose.
then they're home for the Ravens.
Oh, I love poetry. But as far as playing the Ravens, they'll lose, Rich. You understand? Here's the last time a Cowboy won. Can't think of it.
Next up, they're at the Giants, 0-3. Wow, this is a tough start to the season.
It's a very tough start, you know. 0-3, no one wants to go 0-3. No one will steps outside and says, hey, I want to lose. Except the Cowboys.
So they're 0-4 at the Steelers, Stephen A? Is that what you're saying?
I think they're going to be 0-10 with the Steelers. Okay. If you want to be honest with your best dad ever.
So that's 0-5. Then hold on. We'll give them a loss home for the Lions. Then off the bye, their loss at San Francisco. Then a loss at the Falcons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then they lose to the Eagles and then the Texans. So they're 0-10 now.
Yes.
At the Commanders. What happens then?
Yes. You know, they'll win on a bye week. That's what they'll do.
So are you saying this is an 0-17 season for the Dallas Cowboys?
I'll give them one, but I'm not going to tell you which week.
I got to figure that out on my own?
Yeah, just like they do. They show up like, when will a win happen for us? So hey, ask Chris Redd about another useless Charles Barkley. I bet you would love to hear that. I would love to hear that more than I would love to see a Cowboy play anything.
So Stephen A. Smith says the Dallas Cowboys go 0-17 this year.
He gave us a win.
Oh, pardon me. 1-16. 1-16.
1-16. Okay, 2-16.
Wait a second.
2-16.
Win the bye week.
They win the bye week.
They win the Browns. Yeah, that's a win.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen A. Smith playing the win-loss game.
That was very fun.
Chris Redd.
Who was that man that was just left?
Fantastic. Hey, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on. You're welcome anytime that you've got something to talk about. And boy, do you have something to talk about. I am chrisred.com for upcoming show date tickets. See this man live. Why Am I Like This is on Max right now. That's a comedy special by Chris Redd, who can be seen streaming on Netflix right now, available on Roku and Resurrected Rides. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, mate. Appreciate you guys.
Anytime. That's Chris Redd, everybody, right here on the Rich Guys. We're back with more in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show here in Canton, Ohio. Big Ten country, as I have been saying for years, yep. But now you guys in our El Segundo studio are also in Big Ten country.
Yeah.
As the Big Ten has now expanded the map to the point where a conference that had a team called Northwestern, even though it's in the northeastmost part of Illinois, there's now actually two teams in the actual northwest of the country that are part of the Big Ten. And their annual video that or commercial that they show of all their member schools has a map of the United States where they pop up with their schools and their logos in the Midwest that work east. So you're telling me they've now remade that video, Chris? You told me that before the show?
So they've redone the video. They just hit the West Coast. I don't know if you can see it. Now we're in the middle of the country. And
Michigan. Well, this is what it used to be. So there's...
Oh, you missed the front end where it's the West.
All right, let's see that one more time, if you don't mind me rolling it again. It's got music and everything on it, too. Okay, let me just see it one more time, if you wouldn't mind racking that back. So now, because my Zoom is now up here.
Here you go. Look, see, Washington, there it is. Oregon.
Oregon, right. Yeah, so they start at the northwest part of the country.
Yep, then it flips down to UCLA and USC. Yeah.
Right.
All the way Nebraska. To
now, and now we're in the traditional Big Ten. Okay, there we go. Yeah. All right. There's Illinois, Purdue. Yeah. All right. Indiana. Okay. There's the national champions. Okay.
And there's Altoona.
That's the East Coast now.
Yeah. See the water right there?
Yep.
And Rutgers is not really on the water, nor is USC, by the way.
Right.
No.
Yeah. They're
close.
They put USC
on
the coast.
To be right on the beach, you know. I mean,
they're water adjacent.
Yeah. Water adjacent.
Water adjacent.
Water. I love that term for apartments.
All right. So basically, Big Ten country.
The whole country.
It is almost in Canada. Very good. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio, one with the entire family with the Roku channel and everything else. It's TJ Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
You left the house last night, huh?
Come on, baby. I had to.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like, you don't get videos, when you use Wi-Fi on the plane. Sometimes it takes a while for the video to come in. Mm-hmm. And I saw the comments in our text chain to the video that you sent before the video actually came in.
Okay.
And the video is of a bathroom. And then I understood where you are. You were at the Intuit Dome last night? Is that where you were? Dome. The new home of the Clippers?
Yeah, new home of the Clippers. They had a little open house there, a couple hundred people. Just taking a little tour through the building. And let me tell you, man, this thing is next level. This is Andre 3000, 4000. I mean,
So they have an Oculus 2 just like next door.
It's cashless. There's facial recognition. For those of you who are like, I don't want to be on AI. Look, they already have all our information. It's already up there. Don't worry about it. You download an app. You walk in to get some snacks. Just grab your stuff like they do at the airport now. You come out. It's facial recognition everywhere.
It's
easy to get in and out.
Down.
The Larry OB. That's the picture from the wall, which will be just, strictly Clippers fans. And it is.
Yeah, you have to wear a certain gear in order to sit there.
And I'm telling you, man,
it
is steep. Like, I'm afraid some people are going to have a couple too many, Rich, and take a tumble down there. Yeah. In one section, they have bars, metal bars in front of the seats. That way, in case you lean over too far, you won't tumble over. Wow.
TJ, maybe they need to be load managed like their star player.
Oh, see, here you go. Here you go. Fandom lives here.
Look at that seat. That's cool. Seats,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And then, of course, I had to
stitched.
Do it. I had to go and take a look at the most
because
talked about feature of this entire arena, guys.
The toilets. Okay.
The toilets.
So toilets.
I took a trip inside and
toilets.
Because he was touting this when they were making it. Look at that.
Now, I mean, those are yours.
Oh,
they're
goodness.
So mean.
And they're wide. You have privacy. There's a little shelf up there. You put your
drink.
You
actually took us the whole tour.
Toilets.
It's amazing.
The bathroom.
That's a nice bathroom.
You might see your boy in the mirror right there.
There's your boy in the mirror.
There's my buddy Riley I was with. And so here's what I counted in that one bathroom. 30 urinals.
Whoa.
Plus 6 toilets. So right there, that's 36. And I saw at least 6 of those just in the area that I saw.
So you let me tell you something. You will not be waiting
in
line.
That was Ballmer's idea, right? That he wanted people to spend less time waiting in line and quick back to the seat.
That's why you don't have to wait in lines for concessions. Right. You walk in, facial recognition, have your, I guess your...
the app or whatever.
Your app, you have your credit card linked into it. You go in, get your stuff, come out. But yeah, they were cleaning up the bathrooms right there, and I had to take a video, of course.
Looks nice, guys.
Yeah, looks nice.
Now I'm only disappointed I didn't use one. Now, it didn't hit me
what
until
you mean,
just
now.
It's all right.
I didn't go to the bathroom.
I'm sure they're functional. I don't think we needed to take it for a spin.
Well, I wanted to use one before it got dirtied up, is what I'm saying, you know. But yeah, it was great. The arena is incredible, Rich. It's just an amazing facility, what he built. It's amazing. Only thing I can say, I cannot wait for basketball season to start so I can be disappointed.
Come on now. You got a great coach. You got, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, this Clipper team on paper, it's not going to win a championship. But they've got players, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to compete for sure. So
I just think it's a 21st century arena built by one of the wealthiest owners in all of professional sports anywhere on planet Earth.
Who footed the bill
and a lot of amenities. Yep. Okay, very good.
You know. So yeah, this
when he first started, you know, with his hard hat and they started building the place and he started touting what they're going to have. And he screamed out toilets, that we're going to have a bunch of toilets. And then we used it as a drop. I never thought you would actually take us on a video tour of the bathroom.
Toilets! You've met me. What would make you think I wouldn't take you on a tour of the toilets?
No, the art of the possible. That's what the Rich Eisen show is about. You never know where we'll take you. And what journey we'll all go on collectively together. So
And
thank you for that, TJ.
You could charge your phone at your chair. It has a little plug up. I mean,
that's incredible.
It's great.
That's huge.
That's great too. Fantastic.
That's big.
All right. Hour number three, Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And what's going on with the Steelers and the Giants as well. We'll talk on that. Hour three coming up.
And Rich, unlike me on a lot of flights, there's extra leg room. I don't have to worry about anybody reclining back into me, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of leg room in the seating and all that.
You know, I'm 6'3". Okay, cool. I had a solid probably like 7 inches between my knee.
Jeez. So even Boban might be accommodated. Who'd you go with? Who was there?
Oh, that was my buddy Matt Riley. He works for Jimmy Miller's group, Mosaic. We've been going together.
He's a famous manager.
Yeah,
manager.
We've been going together for, like I said, since the year 2000. We met in a elevator when it was Gold Miller, and I was working at a talent agency, and I got in the elevator. He said, "I heard you like the Clippers," and I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Me too," and we've been friends ever since. So,
and now here you are, Intuit Dome buddies.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
And the greatest part about this, guys, 16 minutes door to door from my crib. To get to Intuit. So
from the back of the airport all the way to Intuit Dome?
I can't wait for the excuses, though. I don't go to games.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't.
Oh, no, I always go. You guys know this. I go to a lot of Clippers games.
I know.
I go see back. 16 minutes, no more driving downtown? Come on. I just got to get someone like Mike Del Tufo to give me some tickets.
Well, I bought in there.
You know, Del Tufo gave me a ticket.
Were you at the Intuit Dome? You did?
Yeah, I have 6 games. I just did 6 games myself.
It's barely you barely put the W in the wall. Hour three coming up.
I didn't even build a toilet.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.